Let us pray. Lord, this morning we come to you. Lord, we come as we are. Lord, we pray that this morning you can speak to our heart, no matter what heart condition we are at. Lord, we come as we are to receive the life and the word and the strength from you. So that, Lord, we pray that you give us faith so that we can have faith to hear your word. And we pray the Holy Spirit fill the gap and translate your own precious word into our hearts so that we can receive your feeding, your word, your life. We commit our time to you, Lord, because you are the worthy Lord. You have sacrificed your own life to save us to you, so that we belong to you. We look upon your own grace this morning. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to continue with the last part of the book of Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Before we start, I would like to ask you a question. When you hear the word marriage, what feeling or words you have? Enjoyment? Suffering, affection, or fight, commitment, or bondage, love, or selfishness, kindness, or hurt, a longing, or fear. I came from a dysfunctional family. When I was single, a single man in my young adulthood, I associate a marriage with a bondage, selfishness, and hurt and fear. Though I knew that marriage could be good and blessed, deep down I fear my life to be ruined by my marriage if I marry. And I would ruin the life of the one I meant to love in my marriage. Someone says marriage can be like heaven. It also can be like hell. Why? It is because of the closeness of the relationship between the husband and wife. The closeness can give you the bonding of intimacy and joy. The closeness can also bring you the bondage of hurt and suffering. The closeness magnifies the feeling of hurt and reveal the reality of sin. These are the sinful condition of the Ephesians Christians before they became Christians described in chapter 4. Paul said, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Due to their hardness of heart, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity." In God's design and creation, God said, "Very good," after he ordained marriage or instituted marriage for mankind at the beginning. But because of the reality of sin in the fallen world, marriage can be very difficult. Not only very difficult for the husband and wife, but also very difficult for the children. We praise God because of Christ's redemption. We are given the grace of forgiveness and the Holy Spirit. We receive new life. We have the Word of God to teach us how to live a marriage in a new way by the empowering of the Holy Spirit. We have grace received from God, and so that we are able to give grace to our spouse, we can have a redeemed marriage. Last time we looked at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 to 21, on the theme, be filled with the Holy Spirit. This passage said that a person being filled with the Holy Spirit was characterized with verbal expression of God's words to one another, giving thanks to God, submitting one another. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not characterized by rolling on the floor or hypnotized by someone on the stage, but characterized by growing in God-honoring interpersonal relationship. They include wife relating to her husband and husband relating to his wife in chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. And in chapter 6, talk about children relating to their parents and parents relating to the children. And also talking about servant relating to their master and master relating to their servant. This morning we are going to focus on the relationship of husband and wife in chapter 5, verse 22 to 33. Let us first read the whole passage once. The version I'm using is ESV. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of the body, of his body. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. The theme I would like to give to this session is the way to a redeemed marriage. The way to a redeemed marriage. I'm going to look at the theme in three main points outlined in the scripture. Number one, wives, submit to your own husbands, from verse 22 to 24. Second, husband, love your wives, from verse 25 to 30. And the last one, marriage and the profound mystery, verse 31 to 33. Let us first look at the first way to a redeemed marriage. Wives, submit to your husbands. Verse 22 say, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. I understand this exhortation, instruction, or commandment to wives from God through Apostle Paul might sound strange or even causing anger to some people, but might be happy for some others, especially for husbands. We need to know that who are the intended audience of that exhortation. This morning, some of you might have had a quarrel with your wife and now sitting here still feeling a bit of upset, even angry. After hearing that exhortation, you may touch your wife with your elbow, indicating that today's message is what she needs to listen. We better not to do that. God's words are for ourselves and to be listened by ourselves. They are not listened for others. That means, wives, submit to your husbands. It's not speaking to husbands, but to wives. Not just wives, but in particularly to Christian wives. If you want to have a redeemed marriage, you have to be a redeemed wife first. That means she needs to be a Christian first. Only a redeemed wife who has sin being forgiven by God, has received new life from God, can submit to her own husband in a redeemed way. How? By putting off her old self of self-centeredness and pride, and putting on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness, as said in chapter 4. What does it mean by I submit to you? It means that I and you are originally equal. Now I actively place myself in a position under you. I regard you as my authority. That is what submission means. Men and women are equal. But once a woman chooses to marry a man, from the view of the Bible, she is choosing to willingly and actively place herself under her husband, regarding him as her head. In the original Greek text of verse 22, the word submit is not there. Verse 22 is using the word submit in verse 21 to complete the meaning in verse 22. The word submit in verse 21 has a boundary. Therefore, the implied word submit in verse 22 has also a boundary. Verse 21 told us that the boundary or condition of that submission is out of reference for Christ. What is the submission out of reference for Christ? In order to make it easier to understand, I separate a wife's submission out of reference for Christ to the husband in two aspects. I call them attitude aspect and execution aspect. Attitude aspect refers to a humble or gentle attitude towards her husband, respecting and honoring him. Execution aspect refers to carrying out her husband's leading or decision. For the attitude aspect of submission, the wife should respect and honor her husband as the head with a humble and gentle spirit. It is out of reverence for Christ. It is not out of the good headship of the husband. So whether the husband is a good head or not does not change the attitude submission. The wife should maintain the attitude aspect of submission, even though the husband is not a capable head, or even a respectable or honorable head. Some wives are much more capable than their husbands. The reason why God gave them the capabilities that would be useful to be a helper to their husband. We know wife is supposed to be a good helper to her husband. We also understand that usually the helper is stronger and more capable than the one needs help. This is how he or she can be a helper. But unfortunately, some way they might mishandle their capability in a way looking down at their husbands. They fail to build up their less capable husbands by respecting and honoring them out of reverence for Christ. I can observe some husbands suffer loss because of that. The more the wife withholds respect and honor to her husband, the harder the husband to grow into a respectable or admirable head. The consequence is not only the husband suffer loss, the whole family, including the children, suffer loss. Who can respect and honor her husband? Only the one who is humble before the Lord. Know the capabilities she has are from God. They are not like the Corinthian Christian in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, whom Paul said to them, "For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you receive it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it?" Even when sometimes the husband is not respectable or honorable, at a certain time, at a certain occasion, Apostle Paul asked the wife to submit to her husband as her head with humility and respect. Who can do that? Only those who see themselves as unworthy sinners saved by God's grace can have God's grace to give to their unworthy husbands through respecting and honoring him out of reverence for Christ. The above is about the attitude aspect of submission out of reverence for Christ. What about the execution aspect of submission? Because out of reverence for Christ, the wife cannot blindly cooperate with the husband in his sins. Sometimes she needs to confront her husband in sins in a humble way, respectful way, or even to expose the sins if necessary. Any decision by the husband conflicted with the reverence for Christ should not be executed by the wife, lest she share her husband's sin. In order to be a good helper to her husband, she needs to stand on God's side with a humble and gentle spirit towards her husband, but not teaming up with him to sin against God. Like Sapphira, who tried to deceive the Holy Spirit and Apostle Peter, together with her husband Ananias, on their free will money offering in Acts chapter 5. Another example. If the husband is physically abusing the children of the wife should stop him from the sin of physical abuse by reporting to relevant authorities, such as police. The wife, as a good helper to her husband, should stop him from continuously sinning against God, which he will regret later. As Peter and other apostles said in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, they said, "We must obey God rather than man." So the execution aspect of submission has boundary and condition. Who can do that? Those who have been redeemed by God and have a desire of God's holiness can stand against sin. In short, reverence for Christ requires the wife to submit in attitude to her husband in everything unconditionally, in gentleness, with humility and honoring him. Also, reverence for Christ require the wife to submit in execution aspect only conditionally, lest disobeying God, who is our highest authority. Biblical submission doesn't mean immediate submission without discussion. It does not imply the wife to be lack of wisdom or opinion. This submission allows the wife to express her opinion and provide her useful information, contributing to the discussion in a respectful way. Through this, the wife can add value to her husband's considerations in order to help him in his decision making. This is what a good helper should do. I always said to Yvonne, my wife, that she is my good helper when she is not always saying yes to me and my thoughts, but willing to give me different point of views to provoke or challenge my considerations or thoughts. I'm sort of a person easier to think through things through discussion rather than by myself alone. So submission, welcome, allows discussion. Verse 23 told us that the reason why wives should submit to their husbands is because for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. This instruction is for the wife to follow and learn. This is not for the husband to demand the wife to submit. Rather, here the husband should be reminded to be a good head like Christ, being a good head for the church. A good head is the one who exercises headship for the purpose to serve the people he leads, for their benefits and well-being. If the head exercises authority only to serve his own interest, he does not deserve and has no right to expect his wife's submission. Execution submission. Jesus is a good head. He himself said in Mark 10, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Therefore, for those who are husbands, let us learn to be a good head so that our wives can obey God's words to submit to us easier. Verse 24. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. How the church should submit to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands. What is the scope of the submission? In everything. That means in all aspects of life relating to her husband. Why? Why in everything? Because God wants wives not to have a proud or disrespectful attitude to her husband. God wants wives to honor and respect her husband in everything, even though her husband might not be respectable or honorable sometimes. Is it easy? No, it is not. That's why submitting to husband is a fruit of characteristics of a Holy Spirit-filled life. Characteristic of a Holy Spirit-filled wife. Only by the power and the teaching of the Holy Spirit, a wife can be possible to submit to her husband out of reverence for Christ in everything. Sisters, for those who are wives, I invite you to consider and reflect on God's will through His words on your current submission to your husband. Are there anything you can give thanks to God or need to repent and ask for forgiveness? May God give you grace and faith as a redeemed wife, co-working with God for Him to continuously transform and redeem your marriage. For those who are not yet married, don't think today's message is irrelevant to you. Prepare and equip yourself to be a woman with a humble and gentle spirit, honoring others, having faith in submitting out of reverence of Christ to authorities, which God now places you under. You might not eventually marry in the future, but these qualities and character are not wasted, because this is what God wants every child of His to possess. For those who have not yet believed in Jesus, hope you can trust Him as your Savior and Lord to become a redeemed person, so that you can start your journey with God to redeem your marriage and family. Let us now come to the way to a redeemed marriage for husbands. That is, husbands, love your wives. What is the love mentioned here which God commands husbands through Apostle Paul? Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. This is Christ's love. This is a love not just of feeling out of action. Not just feeling, but of action. The love Christ manifested through giving up His life on the cross in order to save the church originally composed of sinners. In order to understand the love here easier, let us look at love in two aspects. First aspect, action of love. Second aspect, feeling of love. What is action of love? Simply speaking, action of love refers to doing something for the well-being of another person. For example, I gave you a cup of water when I saw you thirsty. I have action of love for you. On the other hand, what is the feeling of love? Feeling liking to another person, liking another person. This liking exists because I'm attracted by the person's good qualities, or because I enjoy the benefit or goodness received from that person. For example, because I gave you water to drink when you're thirsty, you might have a bit of feeling of love towards me. For action of love, I can choose or control whether I offer or withhold my love of action to my wife. For feeling of love, I can't choose or control to have that feeling towards my wife, especially after being hurt by her. This is the difference between action of love or feeling of love. When people say, "I fall in love with someone," falling means I'm attracted passively by the gravitational force exerted to me by the earth. Falling in love with someone means I'm attracted and fall into this person's attraction to me. This is not an active choice, but a passive response to an attraction. This person is good to me so that I like her. This liking is a passive response to a good deed to me by that person. I can't control or maintain that love of feeling because I can't control the other person's future good deeds to me or her original attractive good qualities. I can't be sure she can maintain these good qualities or not. But a lot of people tend to base on their action of love, base their action of love on their feeling of love. This is why a lot of marriages deteriorate or even break down. Here God offers a way to a redeemed marriage through a commandment to husbands to love their wives. Not just to husbands, but in particularly redeemed husbands. Those who receive new life from God through trusting in Jesus. those become beloved children of God, mentioned in the early part of chapter 5. Those people, they are loved by God. As a Christian husband, God commands me to offer love of action to my wife, even at a time or occasion when I don't have love or feeling for her, due to feeling hurt by her or other reason. Even one day, my wife loses her attraction to me, I should still need to offer her love of action, doing something good for her well-being. This is the commitment or essence of a marriage vow. When a man marries a woman, he is actively choosing the woman for him to offer love of action, despite whether there are love of feeling towards that woman or not. This love is a reliable love because it depends less on the feeling of love. As the husband faithfully learns to obey God's commandment, he will be more likely find his feeling of love towards his wife increases. This is the wisdom and the blessing behind this commandment. So not only love of action is more reliable than love of feeling, love of action can actually grow the love of feeling. Maybe because when you offer love of action to a person, you give yourself more to that person. You find that in that person, there are more of your precious love in her because you invest church treasure in her. The more you treasure her, the more you are willing to invest in her with your love of action. This is a benign cycle of love of action and love of feeling within you. Not only that, as she receives more of you, more of your love of action, she will have more love of feeling towards you, which motivates her to offer you love of action. This is a benign cycle occur between you and her. This pattern of benign cycles can be seen in other human relationships. I know of a sister in Christ. She had a middle-aged son. Her son had been addicted in gambling for many years. Most of his family and relatives have lost hope in him, keep a distance from him, or desert him totally. But that mom always prayed for him. This is a motherly love. At some stage, I wonder why this mom has such unwavering love for her son for so many years. Even her son is apparently so unlovable. One of the reasons I think of is the love of mother poured into this son's life since he was conceived in her womb. So many years, so many love of action, so many treasure invest in his life. So the mother can't help, continues to love the son. It sounds a bit other people may not understand, but it is true. This is how the mother loves the son. In marriage, this cycle is particularly true because God's design and command the husband to love the wife. Why this commandment is possible for Christian husbands to obey? Because Jesus first loved us. This is how he loved and died for the church, which are us. Apostle John told us in 1 John chapter 4, we love because God first loved us. How did God love us? Paul said in Romans 5, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Because Christ loved us with his sacrificial love, which we are not worthy of. So we, husbands, as the head of our wives, can continuously learn to take initiatives, be the first one, to be a leader, to start that banning cycle of love by offering love of action to our wives. This is the way to a redeemed marriage. Before we move on, there's a warning of the opposite vicious cycle. The more we have action of hatred towards a person, the more feeling of hatred we will have towards the person. The more feeling of hatred towards her, the more action of hatred we have for her. As the vicious cycle grows, our heart might harden and rationalize our action of hatred by fanning the feeling of hatred towards her to convince our conscience that she deserves our action of hatred. So this is another vicious cycle. This is what often occurs in this fallen world of sin. Only the grace of God can break the cycle of hatred. Only God can redeem the marriage by redeeming the hurt and the hurting husband and wife. The gospel of Christ can give people peace by his blood on the cross to break down the wall of hostility as mentioned in chapter 2. This is the way to a redeemed marriage. How should a husband love his wife? Firstly, Christ loved with a sacrificial love, giving himself up for his church. So the husband should love his wife with a sacrificial love. That is, laying down his own needs to meet his wife's need. Recently, what sacrificial love you are consciously giving to your wife? Secondly, Christ's love for his church is for a purpose. It is to sanctify her. How? By the washing of water with the word. Christ's love is not purposeless or random. Christ's love is to cleanse, to make the church holy by the salvation expressed through the baptism of water and by his words, to sanctify the church. So husband's love to his wife should also have a purpose. This love is to purify his wife with the word of God. So husband, do we take initiative to study or share God's word with our wives? Do we help our wives to grow into holiness with God's word? Thirdly, do we speak edifying words to encourage our wives? Like Paul said previously in chapter 4, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Husbands should be careful of what words spoken to their wives. Are they words of building up, or words of tearing down. Let us never use abusive words, belittling words, or cold words to our wives. These are corrupting talk. Fourthly, in the process of purifying his church, Christ loved her, loved the church patiently and unconditionally. We experience the kind of love Christ treated us. As God works his workmanship in our life to transform us, we are so slow to learn or a lot of time commit mistakes and sins. But Christ never forsakes us or pushes us away or ignores us. So husband, in helping our wives to grow in holiness, do we show patience and unconditional love? Or we just stop loving them when they are not submitting to us? Or we withhold our affection to them when they fall short of our expectation? God commands us to do the contrary, to love our wives with Christ's love. Fifthly, the husband should love his wife as his own body, nourishes it and cherishes it. Do we provide physical and emotional and spiritual needs to our wives? Do you care? Do we care for our wives? Or do you only care for your own work more than your wife? How much time a day or a week you usually spend time to talk with your wife and pray with her for her needs? Lastly, Christ is working steadfastly to transform his church into his likeness, so that Christ can present his church to himself in splendor, for him to enjoy the intimate oneness with his church. The love of the husband to his wife is for both of them to grow towards holiness. The more they are closer to God, the more they can enjoy the deeper intimacy of oneness. Husband, let us love our wives by the teaching and power of the Holy Spirit, with the love of Christ we experience. For young brothers who are not yet married, today you can still equip yourself with God's words and godly character. If one day God leads you into marriage, you can be more ready for it. I remember Long has a quote. I'm not sure whether I remember correctly. Ready to be trained. And trained to be ready. For brothers, you can ready to be trained. Trained to be ready. Because of time, we go to the last part. Marriage and the profound mystery. In verse 31 to 33. Verse 31 is the blueprint of marriage established when God instituted marriage. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Although, because of man's sin, this blueprint lost. But because of Jesus' salvation, in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul mentioned this blueprint once again. Here we clearly see God's purpose for man's marriage is to signify the union of Christ and his church in verse 32. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. The union of Christ and his church is indeed a profound mystery. Who can understand Christ's heart and love for his church? How precious he treasure He values for the union with His church. Christ and the church with individual members. The one spirit, the one mind, the one heart, one baptism, the intimacy, the love. Christ and the church. What cost He has paid and what zeal He has now have for this union. But amazingly, God decided and designed man's marriage to signify this profound mystery of the union of Christ and the church. So do you know God wants to use your marriage to signify His profound mystery? Have you thought about this? Having seen this big and honorable responsibility, how much care we should have in treating our spouse and our marital relationship. As we interact and communicate with our spouse, do we express and signify the relationship of Christ and His church? Also, our human marriage is not the ultimate purpose. The purpose is the marriage of Christ and His church. Our marriage is only the means to achieve the union of Christ and the church. Through our marriages, we can be transformed into the likeness of Christ through learning submitting to one another and learning loving one another. Marriage is not the only means, but it's an important means for God's transformation work in us for His church. God doesn't need all people into marriage. Sometimes He leads people not into marriage, be single, because He has other better means for His transforming work on this person, for His church. But everyone should consider the marriage matter carefully before the Lord. For those who are not married or not yet married, God wants them to glorify God in their singlehood. For those who are married, God wants them to glorify God in their marital relationship. For them, Paul concludes in verse 33, "However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." May God bless His own words in those who are willing to trust His words and obey. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your great love and great desire for us to be in oneness with You in the church. Lord, we pray that You Yourself have the Holy Spirit to explain and interpret Your own heart's desire in our hearts and fill the gaps of our limitation of expressing it. So Lord, we pray that You do Your work and teach us how to glorify You, whether in marriage or in singlehood. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.